homestand continues as they welcome SMU to the Thomas & Mack. Tune in Saturday with tip-off at 7:30 on ESPN Las Vegas.
KWWN Las Vegas.
When last year I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, woo, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
Back here on the Press Box Morning Show, here on the third hour, RJ Bell from pregame.com and the host of Straight Out of Vegas set to join us here. I'm here with Ryan McKinnell from the Mac Attack, his show, 920 The Game from 2 to 3. And then following it is Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell from pregame.com. Jared Stark is going to join us here as well in this hour. RJ, good morning. How are you, sir?
Absolutely. You know, I might be talking to the country every day, Clay, but in my mind, I'm talking just to Vegas.
Well, we know you are because you do a lot of nice stuff that kind of like centers on what Vegas really wants to hear about, especially some of your coverage and some praise about how the Raiders have been able to overcome whatever started this year to where they are now. And now we see them at the New York Jets this weekend, and on Sunday we're seeing that line kind of coming around as a much closer game than expected.
Yeah, and you can't forget though is home field matters, right? And I'm always fearful when there's a small dog or a home dog, and my sense is everyone wants that road team because they're saying, wait a minute, Raiders are clearly better than the Jets and I'm laying less than a field goal or a field goal, give that to me. But flip that thing 6 points, which if it was Raiders at home, and it'd be like, oh, man, do you really want to lay 8, for example, 8.5, 9? So in general, I probably play less small road favorites than anything because I think there's usually a premium on those teams. With the Jets specifically this week, you got to wonder, is there an overreaction to some wins that were better than losses, no doubt, but how impressive is a win against Washington? I don't know. How impressive is a win against the Giants? And other than that, what have we seen from the Jets lately?
Yeah, wins and like good defense, but then again, we're talking about a team at home that's gaining some momentum, and then they did beat the Dallas Cowboys at home.
Yes, and no doubt that win is there's a couple wins this year that just stand out as, how did that happen?
Right.
I consider, you know, Philadelphia winning in Green Bay like that. That's the one win
exactly
that causes me to wonder, am I wrong about Philly? Because I'm just not an optimist about Philly, but that one win looks good. I'm not an optimist about the Jets, but that one win looks good. What I will say in that Jets-Cowboys game, it was probably the biggest disparity between the scoreboard and the stats all year, meaning the stats really strongly said, oh, Cowboys won this game. They didn't. It still counts in the records, but to me, if the stats say one thing and the scoreboard says the other, I trust the stats because in the long run, the stats are going to be right.
RJ, let's you mentioned it, the Jets are at home. Let's go to the other New York team who is on the road. They're getting 6, and I'm talking about the Giants, and they are playing a terrible, terrible football team in the Chicago Bears. How are you looking at that game?
The Bears are terrible, terrible. How bad are the Giants?
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah, that gets. So we're on a terrible scale. Well, I hope we don't get to the Bengals. We might be here all day. I got to be honest, I kind of lean Bears here.
Okay.
And the reason being, I think the coach is good, Nagy, and I think they are going to look to want to – listen, all teams want to win.
Right.
But let's think about our own lives. Sometimes you're super enthused about something job-related. Other times you got to do this interview, for example, like you guys. So you're like, maybe, okay. And then there's the times that it's like, hey, Clay, we have a 7-minute infomercial coming on here. And then Clay's like, oh, gee. And he thinks about his kids in his mind when he's doing it.
Always.
Them eating and stuff. And it's like, okay, I can do this. So
I can power through.
So to me, I look at the Bears and I say, what level are they, Clay's kids level? What level are they? And I think it's that, hey, this is a good coach. Hey, other than quarterback, we're a pretty good team. You know, this quarterback was the second pick in the draft. Maybe he can turn this thing around. I think in general, the team just hasn't given up. You don't know what the Giants have done. Maybe they haven't given up either. I think it's viable they have. What we know is that Giants team has given up a few times on coaches in the last couple years. I don't love laying six with a bad offense. I'm not going to bet it. I would lean Bears.
RJ in Vegas on Twitter and pregame.com. Straight out of Vegas, over 200 stations nationwide on Fox Sports Radio. And you can hear it 3 to 4 Monday through Friday on Sports 920 The Game. All right, let me ask your thoughts on, all right, the Seattle, Philadelphia, Green Bay, San Francisco, or Dallas, New England. Which game would you like to match up?
Let's go Seattle, Philadelphia, because cool. we mentioned Philadelphia and that. What's been their big win?
That Thursday night game against Green Bay.
Yep.
Impressive, no doubt. Yeah. And the fact they went into Buffalo and dominated,
yeah,
that's pretty good. Though I wonder how good is Buffalo. I would say they're slightly below average, meaning literally like 17th, 18th best team. Here's the question, guys. Usually I won't ask the host, but we got professional level stuff here, so I'm going to ask.
Thank you.
How differently would we look at the Eagles if they had lost that divisional round game against Atlanta? Now, remember, Atlanta was first and goal inside the 10 with less than 2 minutes left. Statistically, based on the odds, Atlanta was favored to win that game. If we had a revised history, Atlanta wins that game. So what's the story with the Eagles after that? Well, pretty good start with Carson Wentz. Went to the backup. Foles is good, but as a backup, but he's not a starter. They lost, makes sense. But then if next year, if the year after went the same, what would we be thinking of the Eagles? How much of this is about they won that Super Bowl? And if so, it very easily could have went another way.
All of it.
All of it.
All of it to me. I think it's all perception.
Then you want to fade the Eagles in a lot of spots. What I will say is, how do you explain away that they ran the table after that? Well, one, it was two games, but hey, beating the Pats in the Super Bowl, it means something. I think it was about Frank Reich, because if you actually look at that Super Bowl team for the Eagles, their strongest suit by far was third down conversions.
Yeah,
and Frank Reich is a master of that. He's done it since he's gone to Indy. And as much as I'm not one to critique coaches, because I think they understand football better than media guys, I do think amongst the NFL best, Peterson is not on that list, though sometimes people think he is. I think Reich had a lot to do with it. I think Schwartz is up and down as a DC. So I kind of like Seattle here. I generally think Seattle's been overrated this year. I like him in this spot.
RJ, that's fantastic analysis. I love what you guys are doing for the college football playoff, the great insight you guys have been doing all each and every week. But it's not just that. It's the dream previews, the Wednesday college stuff, and then what you guys are doing on Fridays, releasing that stuff. It's fantastic. 2.5 hours of madness and great stats and hard opinions. It's really awesome to listen to, and we appreciate you coming on today. Tell us what's going on for this weekend, though, because I know you guys are real busy.
Yeah, you know, Fez and I had our biggest on-air bet ever on Straight Out of Vegas yesterday. I'll lay out the bet, and I actually got a poll up on Twitter if you want to give your opinion on it.
Okay.
Here's the bet. Assuming Alabama wins out, assume Oregon wins out, and assume Georgia doesn't. Because if Georgia wins out, that means they're the SEC champ with one loss. They're going to get in. It changes everything. So those three assumptions. Who gets in? The likely battle would be between Alabama or Oregon in that spot. At RJ in Vegas on Twitter, the poll just went up right before this segment. We ended up betting on air 1,000 on that. And one of the guys in studio who was just a visitor, a friend of ours from out of town, you know, a fan, and he comes in and listens. He said, "I want a piece of that." He bet me 1,000. So I have Oregon. I've got 2,000 of action. I think I'm going to win this poll. It's up right now.
That is ballsy, my friend. At RJ in Vegas, do the poll. RJ's got Oregon, and Fezzik's got Alabama. Good stuff, RJ. Thank you, man, for the time.
Thank you.
Can I just have 1,000?
Can I just?
Yeah, I don't want 1,000 on. I just want 1,000.
Has anyone ever just like within like 5 minutes like you get 1,000?
You get 1,000.
I'll just throw 1,000.
You know what? I actually had for the first time ever in Vegas. And I play a lot of video poker. Not a lot, but I mean, over the 12, 13 years I've been here, I played plenty of video poker. Double bonus is my game. So it's about 2 weeks ago. I'm at a local pub or whatever and playing some video poker. I'm with a couple friends, sending them off. They moved to New York. Besides the point. Sitting there, and this gentleman comes around the back, and he starts laying 20s at everyone's machine, and I'm really confused. Like, first he comes up, he starts putting money. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Then I realized he had a jackpot. And he was just, you know, he hit a royal. I hope it was a dollar royal, because he was giving everyone 20 bucks.
Was he really?
I hope it wasn't a quarter royal.
Oh, my God.
But that was the first time. Now, I do the same thing. When I hit a royal, now it's been a long time since I've hit one, but if I'm with friends, I give them a cut, because as my mom told me many years ago, the smile you send out returns, right? Now, I think it's a bunch of BS because I haven't had a royal since, but...
Thanks a lot, Mom.
Yeah,
never
thanks,
trust your
Mom,
mother.
But I did get 20 bucks from the nice gentleman at my local establishment. Again, first time that's ever happened, so I did get free money a couple weeks ago.
That's interesting she says that, because there's that moment of time where you have to wait for that payoff to come. Somebody has to come and go and give you that money. So there's like a 20-minute span, and you got all this cash, and next thing you know, you're like, well, I want to feel bar rich. So I'm just going to throw the money around. And it's good to do that with friends and family, because they're just sitting around here like,
yeah,
you know,
wouldn't
we
do it to the whole
to
bar.
Do.
No, would not do it to the whole bar.
You wouldn't?
No.
Because I'd be a little afraid, too, because there'd always be that one moment of my insecurities will come up and be like, they know I have money, and I got to run to the parking lot to get in my car and run as fast as I can, because I'm going to get knocked in the head.
No, it's just been 9 years since I hit a royal, so it clearly doesn't matter if I give anything back to anyone.
Oh, 9?
Yes.
Oh.
Last one I hit was at Sunset Station 9 years ago.
I remember that Sunset Station story.
Yeah.
The double-double?
Yep.
Oh.
It's terrible.
So what about this dude at the airport who won like $300,000 waiting for his flight? I mean, I just...
It's always that.
It's
okay.
No more machines
in
the airport.
I'm not even... You know what? I'm not even going to be jaded. I will just wait until that comes around for me. I'll be very positive for the gentleman. Good vibes to him. Congrats on your 300K, sir. Could I get some? Universe.
I want to wet my beak a little.
Just a little bit. I'm very appreciative. I remember all my big wins, and I don't remember any of my bad losses. I feel like I'm a good gambler. I move on. I don't wallow, except for the 9 years not hitting a royal. Let's go, Vegas!
And when we win, we spread it around. We
That's
don't
right.
keep it for ourselves.
That's right.
It's just a mere bag of shells for us.
Hard times, Daddy.
Hard times, Daddy. All right, can we do this in 2 minutes? Give me 60 seconds on why Wilder Ortiz 2 could be fight of the year at the end of this 2019 season, because we know these heavyweights are fighting at MGM on Saturday, but this has something where it's like, you know what? Ortiz has got another chance at this thing, and Deontay Wilder is still on track to bring everyone back into mainstream to love heavyweight boxing
again.
Well,
that's the key here, right?
Yeah.
Is the shadow of Fury and Wilder is hanging over this fight. I think the boxing contingent at large, no matter what you feel, I think if you're being honest with yourself, you want to see Deontay Wilder win this fight. Now, Ortiz, he's trying to do what he did in fight one, which was surprise some people. He came out, he clipped Wilder, he made it a fight, hence why we're having the rematch. There is interest there. Listen, these are two big boys that are more than willing to exchange. And I think that's an issue a lot of the time with heavyweights, especially over the last 20 years, right? You just don't get the action fighters in the heavyweight division, and in part because of the power that they carry and the what's on the line for heavyweights, right? Once you get to this level where you're main eventing in Vegas, there's only like four or five people that can do that with any sort of real like interest. So the fact they find themselves in this moment, and Ortiz, you know, he's not sneaking up on anyone this time.
Not anymore.
Right. So I think Wilder knows that, but I also don't think I don't know how to phrase this. I don't think Wilder is capable of changing his style.
Okay.
Wilder can be wild. He wings big, wide punches, and with those big, wide punches come a serious amount of power behind him. So I expect a exciting fight. I don't know about fight of the year, but I just think the way these two guys are, I don't think they can go against their natural kind of inhibitions, which are to open it up and to let leather fly, right? I do expect Wilder, though, to be a little bit more tapered than he normally would be because of the importance and the payday that lies with Fury. If he loses this fight, boxing loses the biggest heavyweight fight in 20 years.
Oh, so much on the line
for
this.
It's not even about this fight. It's about the next fight.
It's about February.
Yes. And so there is a lot on the line for not just heavyweight boxing, but boxing in general, because again, Fury Wilder is going to be, assuming that, you know, Wilder can take care of business on Saturday, is going to be the biggest heavyweight fight that a lot of people have ever seen, because there are plenty of boxing fans that are under 25 years old. So in terms of heavyweight boxing, what is on the cusp is astronomical, really.
It's you want to be a part of it. The weigh-in is tomorrow. You can call the number at 364-1100. And Ryan and I will give you passes for the weigh-in over at MGM Grand Garden Arena. Free and open to public,
free.
But you need passes. And they also have musical performances and a lot more. The Final Fighter face-offs, 12:30 tomorrow. Call the number, 364-1100. We'll give you passes for tomorrow's weigh-in at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. It's Hard Times with J.R. Starkus next.
This traffic report is brought to you by Finley Chevrolet on the 215 Beltway.
Accident still causing problems. Summerlin Parkway westbound at Town Center Drive. An accident, injury accident, Lake North Drive and Grand Canyon Drive. And another one, Sunset Road and Las Vegas Boulevard.
This traffic report is brought to you by Finley Chevrolet on the 215 Beltway.
Thank you, Southern Nevada, from everyone at Finley Chevrolet for helping us win the prestigious Chevrolet Dealer of the Year Award 7 years in a row. Finley Chevrolet, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads.
Thank you, Southern Nevada, for making News 3 your number one choice for news.
Thank you.
When you wake up.
And before you go to bed.
Thank you for making News 3 your